So what do you do when life happens? I think it's time to get catalytic. I am your host, Cheryl Hirsch-Kramer. So grateful that you joined us tonight for the second episode of Catalytic Radio on BBS radio station number one. Now, here's the deal. I had no idea we were going to have this show tonight until last guest, Dr. Dean Schrock, suggested during the interview that he would try to get his friend and co-creator of the book and movie The Power of the Heart, Baptiste Depop, on the show. So I didn't expect it was going to happen. I did not expect it was going to happen. Well, guess what, guys? It happened. So I have the great honor of having both Baptiste Depop and Dean Schrock as my special guest this evening. If you've ever wanted to live your dream but have no idea how to start, if you know you've got a life purpose, you don't know how to identify, you've come to the right place. Baptiste has written a phenomenal book entitled The Power of the Heart. I've had the pleasure of reading it several times during the past week, always finding new content. And Dean Schrock is one of the co-creators who is heavily quoted in the book and shares great wisdom. So we're going to bring them on one at a time. I'm going to start with Baptiste. I'm going to give you a short bio, and then we're going to bring him on, and then I'm going to do the same thing with Dean. Baptiste Depop is a spiritual explorer, author, and filmmaker. He attended law school in the Netherlands, but after graduation, something happened to change his life path radically. He now explores the world of the heart and what it means to live from that space, rather than living merely from the head. This change of emphasis led directly to some astonishingly synchronistic events. From his spiritual awakening blossomed the concept of a movie, in which he would interview the leading spiritual teachers, authors, and scientists of today. Baptiste went on to film and become good friends with many of the people he interviewed and was generously helped by Gary Zukav, Eckhart Tolle, Maya Angelou, Isabel Allende, and others. For more on the book and the film, please visit thepoweroftheheart.com. Baptiste, what an honor. How are you this evening?
I'm great. I am now in Vancouver and British Columbia, and I'm happy to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I want to really get into the content that you've presented us with. I think for a lot of people are wondering, how do you create a life like you've created for yourself? And we're going to get there in just a moment. Let me get Dean on here, and we can start talking. How's that sound?
Great. Love to have Dean on as well. Yes.
Okay, awesome. So, Dean Schrock is a psychologist and author of the bestsellers Doctor's Orders, Go Fishing, and Why Love Heals. Having carried out several scientific studies with the positive impact of joy on the life quality and lifespan of cancer patients, he reached the startling conclusion that the feeling of being loved and cared for has a positive influence on the life expectancy of cancer patients, and that love can even have a healing effect. I found that out with my own dog, who was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and a month later, thanks to the power of love, the tumors were gone. They never came back. I had two more years with her. So Dean knows what he's talking about. Dean Schrock studied at Cleveland State University in Cleveland, Ohio, and obtained a doctorate in applied psychology from the University of Akron, also in Ohio. He developed a research proposal for the Cleveland Clinic to investigate the effectiveness of guided imagery on cancer patients. Shortly thereafter, he began his psychological research into cancer care at the Simonton Cancer Center in Malibu, California. To learn more about Dean and his work, you want to go to deanschrock.com. That's DeanSHrock. I'm delighted to bring back my friend, Dean Schrock. How are you this evening?
I'm good, Cheryl. Thanks so much for inviting me back and hosting both me and Baptiste tonight. We're looking forward to this.
We're going to have a good time, and you're my fairy godfather. You know this now because you brought Baptiste to me, so thank you for being my fairy godfather.
You're welcome.
I think I lost you. No, you're here. Okay, good. So, Baptiste, first of all, what happened to change your life path from being an attorney to doing what you do today?
Well, at one point I realized that I didn't want to be an attorney for the rest of my life. The only problem was that I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. So, finding my purpose in life became like my purpose, really. My purpose became to find my purpose. So, what do you do these days? If you want to find something, you go on the internet and you Google it, right? So I just Googled, finding your purpose in life. And when I Googled this, I didn't find anything meaningful in the beginning. But after a while, I found a video where Oprah Winfrey was speaking to Eckhart Tolle. And the video started with Oprah saying, you know, I think there's nothing more important than finding your purpose in life. And Eckhart said, I agree, but you can't get there through thinking. And for me, that was a big revelation because I was trying to think my way to my purpose because that's how I was educated. And Eckhart, he continued, and he said, if you want to find your purpose in life, then you can ask yourself, what do I want from life? But a much more powerful question would be, what does life want from me? So what does, you know, the bigger picture, the universe want from me? And I said, wow, that's a powerful question, because I've always been asking, you know, what do I want, what do I want? And now this question is completely different. The question is, you know, what does life want from me? And Eckhart, he continued, he said, if you want to find your purpose in life and you want to find the answer to this question, what does life want from me, you have to look for moments of stillness. And the best way to do that is to go into nature. So the next day, I went into nature and I started walking. And I said, okay, I'm going to try this out. I've got nothing to lose. So while I was walking in nature, I asked myself the question, what does life want from me? What does life want from me? And, you know, I did this, and while I was doing this, I felt a little bit ridiculous. I thought, you know, this is not going to work, but, you know, it's Eckhart Tolle, so I'm going to give it a try. And I asked myself this question for about an hour, and after 1 hour, nothing happened. So I thought, okay, I'm going to send Eckhart Tolle an email to let him know that it doesn't work. I mean, he should not be saying this on the Oprah show or to Oprah, because millions of people are watching this and it doesn't work. But it started to rain, and it started to rain really hard, and I forgot all about the question, and I was just looking for a place to hide from the rain, and I found 5 big old trees, and when I was standing under those trees, I felt I was going to die because I felt like I had a heart attack. And so I thought, okay, you know, my life is over, and they're probably going to find my body here. I also thought, this is probably the answer to the question, what does life want for me? Boom, you know, my life's just over. So if I would describe the feeling, I did not really know what was going on, but I felt like there was a bone in my heart and it broke. And I even heard the noise of the breaking of something. And I know, of course, we don't have bones in our hearts, but that's how it felt. I felt like there was a bone in my heart and it broke. And when this was happening, I started really to cry like I've never cried before. And I don't like to cry at all, but I couldn't stop crying because I was feeling an overwhelming sense of love, of appreciation, of clarity, but most of all, a very powerful feeling of coming home. And when this happened, I just felt so happy and so overwhelmed by so much love. And when this all was happening, like a download idea came to me, you have to make a film about the heart. And I immediately had remembered what Eckhart Tolle had said. He said, you can't get there through thinking. This was not coming through my thinking. This was coming through a very powerful feeling of love and coming home. So I thought, this must be my purpose because it's so strong. It feels so good. So my purpose is to produce a film about the heart, and that's how the whole journey started, really.
This is a fabulous story, and I'm so glad you went into the detail. I didn't see this anywhere else on the internet, and no. I love hearing about how long it took you. Now, how many people would wait an hour and then say, this isn't working, I've got to email Eckhart Tolle and tell him this doesn't work? You stayed with this question for an hour. How did you have the patience to stay with this question for an hour?
Well, an hour is, of course, not so long. I had a screening of the Power of the Heart film with Isabel Allende in the Bay Area, and I was sharing this story with the audience, and she was sitting next to me. We were doing a Q&A. She said, what, did you find your purpose after only 1 hour? That's incredible. I said, yeah, well, I don't know why it happened, but I believe it's like this, you know, they say when the student is ready, the master comes, and I think if you really fully surrender, then, you know, when you're ready, it comes. And I was probably ready to receive this answer. So I don't really why it happened, but I know that if you fully surrender, then you find your purpose. I also think that we not we cannot really find our purpose, but purpose finds us when we come into our heart. So I think because of, you know, something was breaking, my heart broke open in a way, and I think that because I came into my heart, my purpose found me in a way.
It sounds like you were both ready to find each other in that moment, which is a beautiful
place
to be.
Yes.
Yeah. So I have to ask you, because I know this was a concern for you, your parents wanted you to be an attorney. You didn't want to disappoint your parents. They wanted to see their son become what he had trained to be. And
yes,
you had some concern about breaking the news to your parents. How did they take the news?
Well, they thought it was a rather exotic idea. And, they didn't think it was a really good idea because they said, you know, you don't have any experience in film production and you don't know anything about the heart, really. So it was strange. But what I've learned is if you really start to listen to your heart, there's not an utter authority in your life anymore. You know, your most important authority becomes your heart, and that's your inner voice. And so people will not really understand what you're doing anymore. And I think it was really good that they did not approve of what I was doing, because it liberated me from, you know, the opinions of other people. And it's also, I think, like this, you know, it's like a match that holds fire. Until it strikes against something, there is no flame. So sometimes you really need the resistance and the challenges for your full potential and your full fire to come out. So I think I was, being prepared for this, in a way, by choosing those parents.
You know, it sounds to me like they gave you the great gift of the first resistance you were going to encounter, because, you know, they loved you. They were saying this to you because they loved you. So it wasn't that they were trying to be mean to you. They wanted to protect their son. It's a great way to experience resistance, isn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, all the time I hear people, oh, if only I had better parents or a better family, then I would have accomplished this. But I think those people, the people who not support you, don't understand you, are often your greatest teachers. Wayne Dyer,
absolutely.
Wayne Dyer even, you know, he thought about this. His life started to take off when he forgave his father. His father left him when he was very young, and he was always very resentful. But the moment he forgave his father, his life started really to take off, and he had his first bestseller. So I think there's always a gift in this, you know, the liberation from being free of other people, but also the forgiveness. And I think forgiveness is really another word for freedom, but also another word for alignment with your higher self.
It's true. I had a similar thing. I lost my father and my mother's parents within 16 months when I was 17 and 18 years old, all very suddenly. Didn't expect any of it. And all of a sudden, the people in my family who were six are now three, and we were all lost and wondering what had happened. It took me many, many years to find peace around this. And I did some energy work with a friend, and she says, what is the gift in having all these deaths when you were young? And I says, what do you mean, what's the gift? There's no gift. I lost my thought. You know, I was really invested in my story at that point.
Yes.
And she says, I cannot work with you until you find the gift. And after cursing her out a bit, I sat back and I says, okay, there must be a gift here. What is it? And I realized, if they had lived, I would never have had the freedom to do the work that I do today.
Exactly.
So they're choosing the past. Gave me the allowance I needed to go and explore these different parts of myself which would not have been approved of earlier in life. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. I think the whole journey is not about what you get, but it's about who you become. And
that's it.
You are who you are today because of the journey that you had, and because of, you know, the environment and the parents and everything.
That's it. So, Dean, I want to bring you into this. I don't know this part of your life. I've known you for a few years, but I don't know your history. When did you decide that your work was going to include teaching people about the healing power of love?
Well, it would go back actually maybe to the 70s, when I probably had the first serious exposure to these ideas and someone I really respected and trusted who was teaching about manifesting love in a self-help program I attended back in 1977. And I took so well to that information and to the person teaching it that we went on to become best friends and business partners and even roommates for a number of years. And he was psychic all of his life, and we would meditate daily, and he was largely self-taught because of meditation, even though he had numbers of degrees. And at some point when he was meditating, he began to channel. And thereafter, every day for 7 years, I was blessed to have access to that wisdom, and it was always centered around living love. It wasn't, of course, until I really went back to graduate school and started to study this in much greater detail that I fully appreciated all of the different perspectives and reasons now why love heals, or why we could just say in the biggest way, love is the answer to all of life's concerns. It probably goes back to early on meeting up with this fellow named Ken McCauley.
Now, just out of curiosity, when you were a boy, did you want to become a psychologist? What led you into psychology originally?
No, I really say it's an accident. In fact, I think that's the opening line in my book, Doctor's Orders Go Fishing. It was an accident. Now, I most certainly didn't intend to do this. When Baptiste, Cheryl and I actually went to the same high school, and it was a really high-quality public high school, and our teachers were so intelligent, as I perceived them, and actually many of them actually had doctorate degrees in high school, that I was intimidated by them. I thought I would never be that smart, nor as smart as many of my classmates. These were really bright people, and most of the people actually went on to college. It was just that's what we did, and it was expected of us, and we expected of ourselves. But I certainly never expected to be in a position like this and have the amount of information or confidence in it to be able to be a teacher and feel very good about this is actually my purpose.
You know, it's interesting where life takes us, isn't it? None of us planned this when we were children, and look what we've grown up to be. I just love watching how life works through us.
Well, it's what John Lennon said. He said, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah, so, in fact, I was just thinking, you know, hearing your story and Baptiste's story about childhood and parents, and my father was very, very strict, and he died my first day of college, and the idea how this could actually be a blessing in disguise, you know, that these are actually parts of what we need and the process that leads to, you know, any number of different experiences, but that led me to actually being free of his serious discipline, and I actually went south for a number of years instead of, you know, being this high honor student and getting a scholarship to go to college. I actually was lucky to get out of undergraduate school with a C average. And it wasn't until many years later that I really was becoming interested in what I called the power of the mind that I was encouraged to go back. And then I did very well again. But my life really took a very different turn for a while.
From what I understand, the healer's life means that these unexpected things show up that would destroy other people, but we use them to help power our way forward in life. And from listening to what you're saying and what I've been through, I think we're three examples of what's possible, not letting life run us over, but just saying, okay, this was given to me, what can I do with it? Okay. So moving onward with this, so, Baptiste, you've made the commitment to going on and being a filmmaker without any knowledge of how to make a film. So I want to understand, how did you go about attracting the production crew and the people you interviewed in the movie and the people you interviewed in the book? How did this all happen? How quickly did it happen for you?
Well, it took me 5 years to produce this whole film. And, in the beginning it was really hard because I was a lawyer in Amsterdam. And I said, you know, I have to figure out how to set up a film production. So I started speaking with, I actually started contacting film producers in the city of Amsterdam, Netherlands, where I live. And I realized they did not really want to speak with me because they thought, oh, here's this woo-woo lawyer and he wants to make a film about the heart. And, you know, what's this? We don't do this in the Netherlands. And then I thought, okay, you know, maybe I should, you know, if the film producers don't want to speak with me, maybe I should speak with retired film producers because at least they have time. So So I found a retired film producer, and he said, you know, okay, if you buy me a cup of coffee, then I'll speak with you for an hour. And, of course, after that hour, he said, you know, don't do it. What you want is impossible. So it was really hard in the beginning. But the big gift in this was that because nobody really wanted to help me, I didn't know how to do it. I had no infrastructure. I was forced to go, you know, with my heart's intuition. So every time I didn't know what to do, I didn't know how to set this up, I just went back into nature and I started meditating on the question, you know, what does life want for me? And I said, you know, if I'm really supposed to do this, guide me and let me know what I'm supposed to do. So every time I went into nature, there came an idea like, okay, you have to call so-and-so. My mind always said, well, there's no point in calling so-and-so because this person cannot help you. But you know, I started really to listen to my heart and my intuition, and every time I followed it, it helped me further along the road. So this whole journey really has been a schooling into my heart's intuition. Then eventually, after 3 years, I had a big production team of 500 people, and I hired Drew Harriet. And Drew Harriet is a well-known director. He's known for directing The Secret, which was a big phenomenon back in 2006-2007. And he lives in Melbourne, Australia, and he came to the Netherlands for 8 months, and we worked together on the whole production with a big production team. So it started with nothing, but because I just trusted my intuition, it grew organically, I would almost say, to a big production with a big team, and the whole team really became like a family. So where my real family didn't support me, the people who were working on the project with me became my new family in a way. So this is how I do it. Of course, there are a lot of details and stories to it, but if I would say how I did it, it's just by staying true to my heart and listening to my heart all the time, because I had no other foundation than that.
This is brilliant, and I have to ask you a question which many people grapple with on a daily basis. Did you ever feel fear? Because you really didn't have any background in this. You didn't know what you were doing at the beginning. And here, dealing with all these people with not a lot of education, did fear ever overtake you, or did you just say, I'm just listening to my heart, and my heart knows better?
The first 2 years, especially, I was very, very fearful. I was fearful all the time, actually, because, you know, you know, everybody was saying, stop this, this is craziness, you don't know how to do this. You know, it was really hard because I couldn't get financing for it, because nobody thought it was a wise idea to invest in a film production from someone who never made a film. So I was really fearful, and at one point, I think after 2 years into it, I was really like, okay, I don't know if I can, I can't no longer do this, I said. And if I'm really supposed to do this, I really need a signal. And I was like, praying, okay, if there are any angels out there, it's time to help me now. And so I started screaming. I said, you know, I need a signal. If I'm really supposed to do this, then, you know, I need a signal right now. And at that moment, the doorbell rang, and there was the mailman. And the mailman had a magazine. It's a Mindstyle magazine, which is really big in Europe. And on the magazine, it said in Dutch, it was Volg je hart, which means follow your heart. And of course, I thought, Oh my God, this is such a powerful sign. This is a sign from baby Jesus himself. I'm going to follow this. So at that point, I started really to believe that something bigger was supporting me, because this was such a powerful synchronicity. So I said, okay, this is really a signal that I'm supposed to do this. I mean, I cannot ignore this. And from that moment on, I felt stronger, and I started to build more confidence that what I was doing was being supported by something bigger.
What a great story. And the signs really keep us going during those dark hours, don't they? It's exactly what you needed and showed up exactly when you needed it.
Yes, it is. What I've learned, I'm doing a event with Mark Nepo. He's one of the speakers in the film. And what I've learned from him is that if you really fully commit, if you really commit with your whole being, then the universe starts to show up for you. And most of the time, people, you know, they say, why is nothing happening? Why is nothing working for me? Because there's not a full commitment. And if you really commit fully from the intention of your heart, from the intention of your soul, then the universe really starts to show up for you. I think Dean can also confirm this from his own research.
Dean, can you confirm this from your own research?
Oh, yes, very definitely. I was thinking about it right away when he started to say it, and I so am taken by some of the information I've gleaned from studying quantum physics that it can't not happen. That is, the universe is actually a reflection of all of our conscious thoughts and feelings, and if you are absolutely aligned with whatever it is you want, the universe simply manifests it. At the deepest level, there isn't any energy as such in terms of particles and waves like we understand it physically and in physics. It's all potential energy. And when you introduce consciousness that's very laser-focused as such, it can't not happen. It's only a matter of time. And if you really stay with it, and I give Baptiste a lot of credit. You know, he seems to take it in stride when he commented about Isabel Allende. Well, the idea that you can become aware as quickly as he did is certainly significant. But then to have the courage to stay with it, I think he was just simply rewarded for a very natural phenomenon that if you really are that focused, it will manifest. The other part of it is to get out of your own way, to not doubt or to not do other things that will interfere from the flow of that energy manifesting in the way you want.
You know, before we did the show tonight, I pulled Archangel Michael angel cards. I do this frequently just to get an idea of where I'm supposed to go in my life. And I pulled with the intention of seeing where does this conversation need to go. And, of course, I pulled the card, Make a Commitment.
Exactly.
What a coincidence. It really does.
Yeah.
And when you watch them, and, you know, so many of us go through life, we're afraid to fully commit because what if we get hurt? What if it doesn't work out? So instead of looking at it, what if it does work out? What if we love what we're doing? We end up sabotaging ourselves by committing maybe 25%. You're not going to get anywhere in life if you do that. But if you say, I'm going to do this, this is my life purpose, this is why I'm here, this is going to make me happy, watch how fast the universe moves. And I want to commend you, Baptiste, for something really important. I was reading the book again today, which I love the book. I think it's an amazing book, and I'm not just saying words. I've read this book about two or three times over the past week since I downloaded it. Every time I read it, I learn something else, or I remember something else, and it leads me to new places to think. What would have happened in my life and in all the lives of the people who contacted you through your work if you had let the fear win? If you had said, I'm going to be a lawyer, I can't be a filmmaker, look how much poorer we would all be if you hadn't followed your heart. So thank you on behalf of everybody who's learned things from you. Thank you for having that courage.
Oh, thank you so much. I know, because I'm doing screenings all over the world, I know that, you know, watching the film and reading the book can change lives. I don't know, have you already seen the film?
Not yet. I want to, though.
Oh, it's really a very powerful experience, especially when you watch it with community. And I've had stories after screenings where in the beginning I thought, you know, I didn't even know if it was real, but that there have been people who just came to screenings just to thank me because they said, well, I wanted to commit suicide, but your film, because of your film, I decided to live because I understood why I was suffering so much. And a lot of times people are suffering so much because they're stuck in their mind and they're also holding a big resentment or anger because of things that happened in the past, and their body cannot hold the pain anymore. That's often the reason why they don't want to live anymore. And there's a very, very powerful forgiveness story in the film. And I like I said before, I think forgiveness is another word for freedom, for liberation. And in the beginning, I thought, you know, is this even real? Is this even happening? And then it happened more and more and more in many different places in Europe and in the U.S. And then I started to realize, oh, my God, I'm not even aware of what kind of impact this has on people. And I don't really feel it's me. I don't even really want to take credit for it. I think it's, you know, I'm a vessel for, you know, for something bigger. And that's why I think that the question, why, what does life want for me, is so powerful, because then life can flow through you and you can connect with the life in other people. So I think it is, I'm now, you know, aware of the fact that it really is impacting a lot of people. I can only be very grateful for it, and at the same time I'm humbled by it, because it's much bigger than myself.
Well, you allowed yourself to be used in that way, and that's beautiful that you allowed yourself to be used in that way, and look what you've done, so thank you. I want to jump ahead to how the two of you met. Baptiste, how did you hear about Dean, and how long ago did you find each other?
I found him very quick, actually. a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, Lilou Massé, she's a journalist from France. She interviewed Wayne for her YouTube channel, and I really loved Wayne's work and what he was sharing. So I think the next day, right after he did the interview with Lilou, after she published the interview on the internet, I contacted you, Dean, right? I think that's how we first started to speak.
Dean, was that a question? Was that a question for me to confirm?
Yeah, because I contacted you right after I saw your interview with Lilou, right?
Yes, that's at least what you I remember you telling me, and I was so pleased. In fact, that interview I keep posted on my website. And it's certainly available for others to see as well. And it was lovely that Lilou came to our home and did that video. And then, indeed, soon after, you contacted me and asked if I would be interested in being part of this Power of the Heart project and to be interviewed. And then you and Matisse came over, and my wife and I, Shelley, were so pleased to have you in our home and take that time to do that. And then it actually was some time before I guess we really connected, and that I was included in the book, and so appreciative that my message had such meaning for Baptiste and now for others. But yeah, it started back when I was living in Eugene, and that goes back at least 4 years, if not five.
I think it was 2012 or 2011.
Yeah.
In the very beginning of the project, yes. And
so I'm going to ask.
Is then,
go ahead.
No. I think I saw Dean and Shelley again. It was in Oregon, but I don't know exactly when. And then we started, you know, speaking about, you know, doing things together. And I did some screenings with you. Now we're doing this workshop together, and it, you know, I really feel that Dean's work is very powerful, because it all speaks about the power of alignment, the alignment with love, and living from that place. I really believe that if you get the inside right, the outside will fall into place, and I think Dean's work is all about that.
You
yes,
just read my mind about that, yeah. So thank you for taking the question. What were you going to say, Dean?
Yeah, no, I agree so much with Baptiste, and really what I would say, what a fast learner he is. You know, it's taken me a long time, at least 30 years, to come to these similar conclusions, and certainly because of my work with cancer, and that people lived longer after learning to... as they told me, when they felt listened to and cared for and supported, or loved and cared for, that's what really helped them most of all of the things I taught in my wellness program. And then that's what led me to go on and really look into, well, how could love literally cause remission from cancer? And then I wrote Why Love Heals. But in that process, discovered a tremendous amount of evidence and a great rationale for why love could literally heal, beyond citing, you know, lots of other research like Dean Ornish's with heart disease. But I think that it really is the truth. When you align with the core truth of who you are at the deepest level, anything is possible. And whatever you're focused on, like Baptiste and his determination to make this film, it's inevitable. But again, I have to give him all the credit in the world for staying by it like he did.
That takes great courage. And this is like a good time to talk about the retreat the two of you are going to be facilitating next month. Take a few minutes and tell us about it and how people can get involved if they want to come.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to go, Baptiste?
No, Baptiste.
Okay. So we're going to be in Yauhatz, Oregon. It's on the central coast of Oregon. That's where I live. And earlier this year, Baptiste came to town, and we did a screening, and we had a huge turnout. People loved the film, and they love Baptiste. And while Baptiste and I were connecting that way, and he took a little extra time to stop and really enjoy being on the coast and rest a bit, we talked about doing something together. And so it was a matter of really coordinating his extremely busy schedule, getting him back here in the States and when we could do this. And so we were able to set up this time, October 17th and 18th, a weekend in October here, and we're going to talk about manifesting from the heart. So beyond the power of the heart is how to make manifest in your life what you want, but of course we would both say what your heart really wants. And so we're really looking forward to really just taking our time, and I partly want to say having fun with this, but not to take it lightly, but also to really enjoy this time to take care of ourselves and really look more deeply at who we really are and what we want, or what Baptiste might say, what life wants from us, and really explore that.
This sounds terrific. So how is this going to be divided? Are you going to teach together? Do you both have different areas of expertise you're going to cover? How does this work?
Well, interestingly, Baptiste and I were talking about that earlier today. And I think we have enough respect for each other or confidence in each other that when he gets here that week beforehand, we're going to sit down and really work that out. But there's just so much that it'll be more a matter of honing it down to, okay, what do we really want to focus on most? And otherwise, yes, we will share giving that information based on our unique experiences and perspectives.
Yeah, what I really want to do with everyone who attends the screening is, you know, I work with Drew Harriet. Drew Harriet is, of course, the director of The Secret, and most of people have seen The Secret or have read the book. And The Secret is, of course, all about attracting things into your life. It's about the law of attraction, manifesting things. And our workshop, our two-day retreat, in Yauhatz on the Oregon coast is about manifesting from the heart. And, you know, I've interviewed all these wonderful, powerful manifestors for the power of the heart, and I realized that, you know, if you really want to manifest things powerfully in your life, then you first have to identify where the intention to attract something in your life is coming from. You know, is it coming from your personality, your ego, or is it really coming from your core identity, your soul, your heart? And I believe that if we really start manifesting from our soul's intention, from our heart's intention, then we are supported by something bigger. Then the universe starts to show up for us. Then we experience the alignment. Then we experience the synchronicities. Then we are more inspired. And then it's not so much about the result, but it's more about the journey, and it's about the becoming of who you really are at the highest level. And I think if you really look at powerful manifestors like Oprah Winfrey or like J.K. Rowling or like Maya Angelou or like Paulo Coelho from The Alchemist, people that were involved in The Power of the Heart, and you really see that they all had different careers first, but the moment they started to listen to their soul, the moment they started to follow their heart, the moment that they were really serious and committed to their heart's intention, then the fulfillment came, and from that there on, the bigger success came. It was not just the success in monetary terms, but also the success in terms of fulfillment, in terms of being, on track with what your real element is. One of the speakers in the film, Mark Nepo, he says, A fish cannot drown in water. A bird cannot fall from the sky. Each creature must find their own God-given element. And he says it's easy for fish and it's easy for birds, but it's not so easy for us human beings. Why is that? Because when we are born, we don't get, you know, the manual of who we are supposed to be or what we're supposed to do. And I think we can only find it when we first open our hearts, when we first come into our heart, and then we find our element, and then we find our true power. And our true power is this, you know, no one is you. No one is you but you, and that is your power. And your soul has so much power and so much wisdom, and it's a wisdom that far surpasses that of the mind. So if you really start to manifest from your soul level, then you are really working from your biggest power source and from your core identity, and that's when you, you know, become invincible. So that's what I would like to identify with everyone who's coming to this workshop. You know, what is your soul's intention? What is your element? And how can we access that power?
This sounds like a very good use of 2 days in October. So for people who want to come and be with you, how can they get information on this?
They can go to my website. That's where we have the registration set up, www.deanschrock.com. And click on the events button, and then there's a registration page where you can pay through PayPal or make, you know, very convenient arrangements to come. And there's special rates for those who stay where we're going to host the event at the Overleaf Lodge and Spa. And they have a beautiful event center. It's really a fantastic structure they've created with these event center and a beautiful hotel, and it's right on the ocean, so that not only do we hope to share with people all of our experience and how they can overcome almost anything, really, honestly, but do it in this beautiful setting and have a very, very pleasant time.
And I'm looking now, one of the quotes I took from the book, Dean, is one of your quotes, and it's align yourself with love, and the universe begins to show the most miraculous ways for you. And it sounds like this weekend is devoted to talking about that in detail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Baptiste, again, is such a wonderful example in a relatively short time what you can do when you really mean it. And in my work with cancer and with chronic disease and chronic pain, to show people that they can absolutely apply this in their lives and overcome some of the things that we would think are incurable or, you know, not just incurable, but, you know, that we really have to suffer extensively through, and show people how they can get in touch with a wisdom within themselves and, in fact, learn to manage their symptoms, if not eliminate them.
You know, the work that you put forward has helped so many people, Dean. And, you know, I know we talked about this in the last show about in my neighborhood, there are people who can't accept that my dog lived 2 years cancer-free after a diagnosis of terminal cancer without doing chemo or surgery or radiation. Love, prayer, and fun, diet change, and supplements. That was it. So we changed. And I have neighbors who can't believe she lived, and they actually denied reality because you're supposed to die when you have cancer. And no, not necessarily. So the work that you put forward, it's not even for wellness and sickness, it's for life. When you put that positive mindset out there that nothing is an absolute, it depends. And that opens you up to so many miracles and so many blessings. I love what you put out into the world.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to do it. I know Baptiste is following his heart and is enjoying it considerably, and so am I. So it's going to be great fun, as I said, to share with people.
Yes, excuse me. Yeah, please.
No, go ahead.
No, I just want to say it's going to be great fun, but I'm also going to say this really works because I know it from my own personal experience that it really works. And I also, you know, there's a saying in the Torah, words that come from the heart touch the heart. So if people really bomb, make that connection with their heart, with their soul, bomb, then they're just, they become like an eagle. They see everything from a much higher perspective, and I think that's the big difference between the mind and the heart. You know, if you're on a boat on a river, the mind can only see the next bend, the next turn on the river, but the heart can see the whole river from source to sea. So once people start to live from that level, from that perspective, they all of a sudden they start to see the bigger picture, and they become like, oh, they become so excited. Say, oh my God, this is who I am. This is what I can achieve. And this inspiration is so powerful, and it starts to, you know, have a ripple effect on other people, because other people start to feel it too. And that's when you really become powerful, and that's when you become a real powerful manifestor, when you start to get it, when you start to connect with that place in yourself. So it's you know, I know from my own experience that people will be changed by this retreat.
Well, you know where to go for the information, guys. Go to deanschrock.com, look for the events tab, and you can be there. You can be a part of this. We only have maybe 10 minutes left, and what I'd like to do, Baptiste, I'd like to spend just a couple of minutes talking about the book itself. A lot of the books on spirituality and how to live from heart don't get into the how-tos as well as your book does. And you've got these contemplations that are beautifully scattered throughout the book. Are these things you yourself have used in order to grow on your path, or are these things you want to
teach? Yeah, most of them, I use them. So I started to look for, you know, practical, powerful meditations, contemplations that people could use in their lives. And, you know, after all the screenings that I do, I do one of those contemplations, and afterwards people just are so happy because something shifted, something changed, so I know they really work. So most of them I've applied them myself, and that's why I am sharing them, because I know they are so powerful.
Could you just, as a specific, just to show people what's in the book, I love what you do with the three blessings. Could you explain about the three blessings? It takes gratitude to a whole new level.
The three blessings is actually, you know, I believe that if you start to, I mean, the foundation of it is really that you start to mention everything that's going right for you in your life, you know. We are not focused. I mean, our brain seems to be focused really on everything that's going wrong in our lives. But if you really start to identify the little, sometimes the small things that are going right and well, then it shifts you to another level of buoyancy. You go to another level, and you start to see different into things. You start to see your own reality different, and most of the time people are stuck in a negative reality pattern. But when they just start to become grateful for the little things, then all of a sudden they're in a different reality, and their heart opens. And the beautiful thing is, once our heart is open, when we are in a state of what they call heart coherence, and they can measure this state, it's a state where we experience appreciation, love, or gratitude, then all of a sudden we see everything from a much higher perspective. And why is this? Because when we are in a state of heart coherence, our heart is sending signals to our brain, and it opens up our brain, and our left and right brain, they start to work more with each other, and we are using much more of our brain capacity. So we are actually more intelligent when we are in the state of gratitude and appreciation. So this is just a simple contemplation, really, the three blessings, to bring you into that state where you can access much more of yourself, and where you can see everything from a more grounded, higher perspective.
I love the fact that you not only have us list the blessings, but why did they go well?
Yes.
And that's great, because it makes us take a look at this in a whole different way. When you list gratitude, that's powerful. But why did this work? That takes it to a whole new place.
Yeah, the reason why I included the why is that when you ask yourself, why did this go well, or, you know, it deepens the gratitude, actually, because you get more insight in your own gratitude. Because if you see why, then your gratitude even becomes more powerful.
Dean, I want to ask you about your participation, the power of the heart. You were approached to be a part of this project, and it's a fantastic project to be associated in. What did you learn from being part of the project?
Oh, I'm not sure. You know, initially, of course, I was simply interviewed about my own work and why Love Heals and my experience and expertise with guided imagery and so forth. what I've learned, I guess, is to be that much more appreciative of what really can happen in every aspect of our life, where my focus was mostly on health, is that it's as Bepti says, when you open your heart and when you learn to align with the truth of who you really are, things just begin to unfold. But when you really focus on a certain thing, when you determine what you really want, it's just marvelous. It's almost miraculous, except then you begin to understand how it really does work. And then I go, well, I'm very smart. If this is how it works and this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to apply it in my life, and that's when I get great pleasure in teaching this to others, how they can become happier and healthier.
I'd like to find out, and I know that the Power of the Heart movie, from what I've read, is not in general release. So, Baptiste, if somebody wants to bring the movie to their town and arrange a screening, how would they do that?
Yes, that's a very important question. So if you want to organize a screening, please go to the website of our North American distributor, and that's beyond words. But be careful. The website is beyondword.com, so without the S, beyondword.com, so without the S. And there you will find the screening package. So if you go to the website of Beyond Words, and I'm on the website right now, then you will find the information to organize a screening. So it's Beyond Word without an S. And there you will see the information to organize a screening if you're in North America.
That's useful information. I hope that you'll take advantage of this and arrange screenings wherever you may. I know there's one coming into New York in November. I plan to be there. But if you're living in an area where you don't have access to major events like this, bring it to your town. This is how you form community. Get a bunch of people together and say, we're going to sponsor this. See who shows up. You may make new friends. You may make new associates out of this. You may find a whole new world opening up to you. So take the leap of faith. Get a screening.
Yes, and I will say this. I'm doing screenings all over the world, in you know, even in churches, in a lot of Unity churches in the U.S. and in Canada. And it brings so much community together. You know, the churches are just packed for this film. And the beautiful thing is people who see it the first time with community, they come back a second time and they come back a third time. And I've had, in Europe, actually, I have a lot of people who come to the same screening of The Power of the Heart 10 times. And I always ask him, why are you coming back? And they said, I just want to experience this being in my heart with other people. That's what makes me happy. So it's just much more than just watching a film. It's a really hard experiencing experience. And when you watch it with other people who are in their heart space, then it really amplifies. So I would really recommend to organize a screening and to experience it with other people.
Okay. So as we wrap up, I'd like to get a closing thought from each of you. What would you like to leave the audience with? They come away with one piece of wisdom from this discussion we've had. What would you like that to be?
Well, a lot of people ask me, I know what my heart's desire is, because I know, a lot of people, they know what they want, but they're scared of doing it. And I always say, just follow your heart's intention. You don't have to know how, just start, because just starting is magic. Learn along the way. Martin Luther King said, you don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step. A lot of people know what they want to do, but they're just so afraid because they don't know how to do it, or they don't really see the big picture. But your heart can see the big picture. Your heart knows the next step. So just try to be in the now. Try to ask yourself, what does life want for me now? Use the contemplations and the meditations that I have in the Power of the Heart book. And just trust. And I know that for people it's really hard to trust the heart. And I know I can't blame them, because we are not taught to trust the heart. If you really start experimenting with the heart more and more, every time you have to make a decision, you can go to the left or to the right. Ask yourself what brings what makes me come alive now? What does the aliveness in me say now? And if you start to follow that aliveness, then you will start to realize that this is a higher intelligence, an intelligence that far surpasses that of the mind. And it's not about the results. It's about learning to listen to this higher intelligence that I call aliveness.
Thank you. And Dean, what final piece of wisdom would you like to share?
Well, I'll tag on to what Baptiste was saying about your aliveness. And so we say follow your bliss or do what brings you the greatest joy in your life, the greatest meaning, enthusiasm. I believe that passion is your soul wanting to say hi. So whatever it is that brings you that aliveness or joy is pay attention, and chances are that's really a very accurate feedback that you're headed in the right direction.
That's a great place to end. Thank you so much, Baptiste Pop and Dean Schrock. This has been a great hour. I can't believe it's passed this quickly. And I'm grateful that you chose to share your time with all of us. We don't know what's coming up on the next panel.
It was a pleasure. I can't believe that it's already an hour. I mean, it seems like 10
minutes. No, let's go for 3 more hours. What do you guys got going on? thank you so much. You were fabulous. And we'll see what happens in the next catalytic. But in the meantime, what do you do when life happens? You know what the answer is. Now you get catalytic. This is your host, Cheryl Hirsch Kramer, thanking you for being here tonight, and many blessings to you. Good night.